Today, we're talking about a group of people we haven't mentioned before, but who may come up in future episodes. In particular, episodes of Tales from the Grey Library. There exists in Fenrain a group of people whose history is steeped in legend. Their presence can be felt at the edges of society, and the impact of their past deeds reverberates through the very bones of Guildland and the rest of the continent. Judges, executioners, investigators, liberators, monster hunters. Today, we're talking about the Hellfike. Hellfike is not a name you hear often in polite Fenrainite society these days. First, there are a few of them. Their numbers have dwindled in recent times due to conflict with, in particular, the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers. Second, their job in Fenrain is a dirty one. They deal with monsters, both living and dead. To be a Hellfike is a thankless life, but those who've taken the vows serve justice wherever they go. Lastly, there's something otherworldly about Hellfike. Common folk talk about secret ceremonies, strange and mysterious tools, and communion with the dead. But these are all rumors. To look at a Hellfike, you would see someone unsettling, strong but pale, cold to the touch, and strangely ageless, with eyes two different colors, one natural and one fiery orange. Hundreds of years ago, through the Age of Saints and into the start of the Age of Steel, Hellfike roamed the fields and forests of Fenrain. Traveling from village to village, they solved problems. Hellfike served the common people. The name Hellfike stems from the old language, and it meant two things: to help and to hunt. When they encountered a town in trouble, they served as judges and arbiters. They investigated deaths and dealt with disputes. Most of all, when something dead was lurking in the darkness outside of town, they hunted it down. Rather than serving a ruler or a distant leader, Hellfike answered to the common people, and their rulings, swift, just, and usually fair, were taken as law by the people of Fenrain. Needless to say, while the Hellfike were popular with the people of Fenrain, they were less than loved by those in power, particularly the royalty of Gildr and the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers. In their heyday, Hellfike all came from nobility. Typically the seventh child of a highborn family, young warriors in training were given by their families at a young age and taken to the great northern stronghold of Perch, high in the Spine Mountains, where the eastern spine meets the southern spur. Their rigorous training filled the strange halls and the surrounding scree-covered slopes. The building, which appeared to be some sort of ancient observatory filled with tools and objects for observing the heavens, is nothing but ruins today. Young learners were trained to master swords and other weaponry, and learned to fight both the living and dead. They sharpened their minds with knowledge of magic, chemistry, biology, history, and an encyclopedic learning of the dead and dead creatures. Classrooms, laboratories, and dormitories filled the smooth stone halls of the interior, and obstacle courses and training rings covered the stony areas outside. As they learned, these warriors in training were separated into clans based on their affinities to help them focus on their strengths. Clan members were expected to both help each other through the most difficult parts of the training, and know when to let the weak fail so that the individual could move forward. From the moment they entered training, students of Perch would take a series of vows. The first relinquished the trainee's noble name and any wealth and status that went along with it. As they neared the close of their training, they prepared for a final vow and ceremony that would make them a full Hellfike. The ceremony, along with most of Hellfike training, was a mystery to outsiders. Upon taking their final vow, the new Hellfike was given a paste made of belladonna, thornapple, mandrake, and vargersbane, which they would smear on their body. The concentration of highly poisonous plants would work quickly to slow a Hellfike's heart rate while sending their mind on a journey. When they would wake hours later, they would speak of death and the light at the end of the Seven Rivers. Many Hellfike believed that after this ceremony, they were simultaneously alive and dead. When a Hellfike came back from this experience, they did not return empty-handed. Part of what made a Hellfike so special and useful in their roles as arbiters, executioners, and monster hunters was their newfound skill after their journey to death. Some came back with enhanced reflexes or heightened awareness. Others came back proficient in a new weapon they had no skill in before their journey. Still others came back with a silver tongue, able to talk their way out of any situation. In the year 265, Prince Elfric is born to King Aesir and Queen Gota, their seventh child. They refused to give him up to the Hellfike, and when the Hellfike came knocking, they closed off Gildr's palace. Little more was made of it for the next 17 years. In 277, after the Battle of Verdant Fields, the three Fellowship Paladins who defeated Angelus made their way back to the Iron Tower via the small town of Illyr. The homecoming heroes expected fanfare, but news of their victory had not yet reached the small town. They commandeered the local inn for their personal celebrations. Spending the night there, they overheard talk of a beast in the woods and the Hellfike hunting it. Still riding the high of their victory against a supposed necromancer, they decided to take up the investigation themselves. They led a witch hunt through town, finding, accusing, and executing two people within the next 2 days as practitioners of necromancy. On the third day, the Hellfike returned, the head of a Drekka in her bag, to a town mourning the loss of two innocents. She sought out the paladins, finding them again in the inn at a table covered with empty cups, and challenged their investigation. Things quickly escalated. The fight was quick. The Hellfike killed one and took the sword hands of the other two paladins, which she saw as a just trade for their actions in town. She left them licking their wounds in the inn, taking no payment for the Drekka, despite the townfolk's many offers. A number of conflicts arose in the following years between the Hellfike and the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers. There was also an incident with the Beast of Beltane, but perhaps that's a topic for another day. You've got to ask if you want to hear about it, though. In 292, King Aesir was assassinated, and his son Elfric, who we now know as the Ever-Young Prince, took the throne. Elfric quickly signed the Accords, giving the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers government funding and military powers. By signing the Accords, Elfric signed the death certificate for the Hellfike. The Hellfike refused to be bound by the Accords or any other agreement with Gildland. Perch was located in Gildland, but they served the people of Gildland, Harth, Highreach, and parts of Brightport. Serving a government would defeat one of their primary purposes, to answer to the people of Fenrain and their immediate needs. Elfric and the Fellowship decided to interpret their non-willingness to cooperate as hostility, later selling the story to the people of Gildland. In the high sun of summer 293, 6,000 of the Fellowship's paladins massed at the foot of the Southern Spur. They laid siege on Perch for 4 long months, and by the end of it, about 300 Hellfike had died, defending the stronghold, and over 2,500 paladins were killed. In the end, Perch was destroyed, and the remaining Hellfike scattered to the wind. These days, Hellfike are a rarity. They travel the western countries like lone wolves, but they still retain the precepts of the Hellfike of old. When they find a town in need, they ask for no payment, only shelter and food. They make difficult and sometimes unpopular choices. They seek out remote places and small towns, places passed over or forgotten by the Fellowship. And they destroy the dead creatures lurking in the dark. I hope you enjoyed this short journey into the world of Fenrain. We'll see you next time for more about the world and the people in it. Do you have an idea for an episode? Do you want to hear about the Beast of Beltane? Let us know. Send us a tweet at Coruscant Knight or join our Discord to chat with other place fans like yourself. If you're interested in our world and haven't yet checked them out, please go listen to The Other Place and Tales from the Grey Library. Fenrain Files is a production of Nightcast Creative. To learn more about us and the other podcasts that we make, visit nightcastcreative.com.